And then when it goes no, when it gets to, I'm not trusting you. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Body Show. Body, we have a beauty today. First off, how are you, mate?
I'm extremely well. I'm very excited about today's guest because it's not often that we get goats. And yeah, as far as the WNBL goes, this player is the goat, but I'll leave it all to you.
Couldn't agree more. Everyone, sit back, listen, and enjoy. Born in Sydney, New South Wales, played her junior basketball in Newcastle. In 1996, attended the AIS for a couple of years and went on to play for the Sydney Uni Flames. And ironically, on two separate occasions, also Townsville Fire on two separate occasions. She has played basketball for several European clubs in France, Italy, Spain, Russia, before returning back to the WNBL for the Canberra Capitals and Adelaide, and again for Flames and the Fire, as I mentioned. She then obviously went to the United States, and she has played for the Seattle Storm after being selected in the first round in the 2003 draft pick, joining a great mate of hers, Lauren Jackson. She has been a huge member of the Australian Women's National Basketball team, being named to the team for the first time in 99, where she obviously went on to win silver medal at the 2004 Summer Olympics and the 2008, and a bronze at the 2012. She is a five-time WNBL champion, a six-time WNBL Most Valuable Player, a seven-time WNBL All-Star, a four-time top scorer. Buddy, you said it before, this one is the GOAT when we talk WNBL. After retiring from professional basketball, she was elected as the Townsville City Councillor. I would like to introduce Miss Councillor Susie Batkovic. Thank you so much for joining us, Councillor. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Great to have you on.
Extremely well. Susie, in that intro, the one thing that surprised me was that you were born in Sydney, because I thought all of your early life was in...
Yes, yep. I was going to pin Brad on that. That's the first one. That's the first time I actually found out that I was born in Sydney. So I've talked to my mum about that.
Oh, where were you?
To find out if that's true, because I was pretty sure my birth certificate says Newcastle, New South Wales.
That's what I thought, yes.
Oh, no. I'm going with Sydney. You are a Sydney girl, and I'm sticking with it.
Okay, I'll get my birth certificate changed just for you, Brad.
Please, thank you, yes.
So tell us, Susie, how did you come to basketball? Is that a family thing, school thing, friends? How did you get drawn to the sport in the first place originally?
Yeah, that was a brother thing. I actually played netball to start with, which I don't talk about often. He constantly nagged me, and, you know, like siblings do, we go at it. And I ended up giving it a go. And I loved it, absolutely loved it. But, you know, one of the things that got me, that really annoyed me with my brother, was he, as he kept, you know, for weeks, kept trying to get me to play, he ended up saying, play a real sport, like, you know, a proper boy sport. And I'm like, mate, I'm a female and everyone can play different sports. But so that's how it sort of started. And then from there, I just I fell in love with it. I was playing both sports. And then my brother was the same. He was playing soccer and basketball. So my parents were definitely taxis. And then it just got to a point where I was missing a bit of netball training or basketball training. So mum was just like, you need to choose. And it was a no-brainer for me. I absolutely loved playing. And there was there's a story that I often get told from a lady, who was a big part of when I first started, Agnes Doricott. And she got me to come out and play local basketball. And because I'd come from netball, you know, and it's just you're either a goal shooter or a goalkeeper, which I never want to play goalkeeper. So forever wanted to play goal shooter. When I first went on the basketball court, I was apparently running around like a chook with no head on. I was just playing everyone's position.
Fantastic. Now, Susie, I always ask this question because I love it, and it's a two-part question. What took you to the AIS? How did it happen? Was it like state teams and someone noticed you? And did you enjoy your time at the AIS? And I ask that because people, there's grey areas. Some love it and some like it wasn't for me. So over to you.
Well, I actually, Phil Brown was scouting when I was playing for New South Wales Country, and I was very raw, like extremely raw. Had only just started playing, I think it was I started when I was 12. And yeah, he pretty much at that stage, I was 15 and he offered a scholarship. And the phone call was hilarious because he'd called and I'd answered the phone and I, you know, had really no idea what was going on. And I'm like, you know, I said, oh, no worries, I'll get my mum. And I held the phone piece back there and I'm like, mum, some guy's calling, like some Phil dude from like the Australian Institute of Sport. You know, so mum took over the conversation and, you know, sort of explained everything. So I was a little bit, you know, not really sure. And one of the questions when we talked about, you know, would I like to move to Canberra from Newcastle, which is, you know, a 5-hour drive. One of the questions I asked was, is there a curfew? My parents were really strict growing up. So the curfew thing, that it was a lot later than what it was at home. So that really got me over the line to start with.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so, and look, you know, when I first came, I was so raw that I didn't even know what a five-man weave was. Like,
wow.
Phil Brown, I'm at the AIS, and he's like, right, everyone on the baseline, five-man weave. I'm like, oh, God. And there's so many times he's like, it's all right, Suze, just jump in the back of the line and just watch. So there was a lot of learning for me, and I was also, you know, this 15-year-old kid. I was in high school still when I went, and everyone else, was in college, so they're like 17, 18. So there was a bit of an age gap. But the girls that I went with were fantastic. They, you know, really, you know, took me under their wing. And so it was a lot of learning for me. And then by the end of it, we won a championship. So for
wow.
me, I absolutely loved the AIS. Like,
who were the girls that you were there with? I just wanted, you said to the girls, who were they?
Yeah, so Kate Hogan, Eleanor Sharp were probably two of them that really, you know, took me under their wing, a bit of mother hen for both of them. Mm-hmm. There was Chika Amagi then. So it was, I was, yeah, really just a kid.
Brilliant.
But, yeah,
brilliant.
Loved it. I think the amount of learning I got out of that first 12 months was just incredible. And hats off to Phil Brown. My God, he had to cope with me for, you know, 3 years. And, you know, and I'm thankful for him because he had the patience and, you know, really guided me and really pushed me. And I guess, you know, he started off teaching me what it is to be an elite athlete. And, you know, for that, I'll be always grateful.
Yeah, and the therapy sessions now, I think he's out of them, so he's grateful too. So,
it's the same ones I have after every pod. Don't worry, it's the same one I have after every pod, Susie, so don't worry.
He's doing good
business.
Yeah, I
think it'd be worse for you, Brad, than Phil, but anyway.
Oh, you know Bonnie well. It's great.
So let's just go back one step. So you're playing for New South Wales Country, so that's obviously, I guess, where you met a fairly good player from Auburn.
Yes. So I'm very lucky that I did actually. That's when I first encountered Lauren Jackson, and we became good friends. Obviously, kids being kids. But oh my God, she's got the sharpest elbows in history, and the most. And I say that with, you know, she's such a smart player, even from a young age, and had that determination and that will. And I'm grateful. I went through the ranks with her, but she made me the player I am today in terms of I had to train against the GOAT that we've ever seen. So it was never an easy training session, but we just, you know, we just battled it out and we just loved it. And we were always mates off the court. You know, there was times where as we got older, there was, you know, we'd go head to head and, but coming off the floor, you know, it didn't matter. It was like your mates again. You just worked hard to make each other better, which,
yeah,
you know, benefits you and the team. So I'm really grateful for her and, you know, she's a good mate and we still talk a lot and, you know, we do reminisce sometimes on the times and some of the funny stories and, yeah, I'm really, you know, as you retire, you probably think about your career a lot more and realise what you've accomplished and, you know, she's one that I've gone through from, you know, when I started basketball all the way through and I'm grateful for it. One, for the player she is that, you know, helped me become a better player but also the person and being, you know, having that friendship.
Now, talking about that friendship, you told me a story a long time ago, which I'd love you to repeat, about the two of you in a New South Wales Country team at a national championship. You know the story I'm referring to?
It involves
It involves a bus.
That was younger. Yeah.
Yes. So, and what was said to you, please take us through. That's a great story.
Yeah, so, you know, being at Nationals, and clearly I was, you know, new to all of that, but one of the things that would happen, you know, at the end when the grand final's being played, all the other states would come out and put toilet paper on buses and shaving cream and toothpaste on the door handles, like all the kids' stuff. Anyway, every state did it, but the only people that got caught was the New South Wales country kids, which was me, Lauren, and, you know, our teammates and Chelsea Grant back then. And we got caught and we got absolutely crucified from people who were running the show at that stage. And so we had a meeting and we were told that we would, you know, they were obviously really peeved off and told that we would, you know, never represent our country and all this stuff. And I'll never forget Marie Jackson. She just sort of gave it back to them. But, and, you know, parents trying to explain that, you know, it wasn't just us kids, it was everybody. But, you know, at one stage in the car park when security was there, me and Chelsea Grant were together. We ended up rolling under a car to hide because you can't keep yourself as a kid. And Chelsea being Chelsea, you know, she's like fun and bubbly, always happy. And we're lying there thinking, God, how are we going to get out of this? And she's like, hey, I'm pretty sure this is my parents' car. So this massive car park, and here we are with, out of all the cars we've rolled under her parents' car, and I think that made her feel a little bit safer. You know, so we've rolled out, we've cracked up and whatnot, but even through that, when we're sort of getting roasted, I remember Chelsea, she's just this beautiful, bubbly personality. She's got a chubba chuck in her mouth while this lady's absolutely going off at us and just smiling away, you know, and then Marie Jackson jumps in there with, you know, sort of trying to calm the situation down, but also she didn't like the comment of being told that, you know, we would never make it far and never represent our country. So yeah, it was interesting times. Yeah. And then we went on to represent our country.
You guys did all right. Hey, I just wanted, you mentioned something before that I just wanted to reminisce. You said those words, and that was something. Now, for someone that has done everything that you could think of in playing basketball, when you think of reminiscing, what comes to mind? Is it the friendships? Is it the championships? Is it the Opals? What is it?
Probably friendships and moments, and including those moments of, you know, championships. But a lot of it is like how we got to somewhere, you know, how you won something. There's always these quirky or amazing times that you had. You know, you're working as a unit trying to achieve the ultimate goal, and there's always ups and downs and, you know, funny moments, and, you know, some of those moments where they're heated, but later on you look back and you laugh about it. So a lot of it, I think, is the friendship and moments, you know, on the way to something great. Yep. But then also, you know, you reminisce on the great times of, oh, finally, you know, we did what we set out to do, or, you know, we won the championship or we won a medal at the Olympics. So, you know, so I think it's a bit of both of what you kind of reminisce on.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, you're part of the only AIS team that won a WNBL championship, which is pretty extraordinary, because back in the day when the AIS was put into the competition, they were all club teams. You know, they were from South Australia. We had Norlunga, West Adelaide, North Adelaide. So the AIS girls could compete successfully at that time. And then when they became clubs like Adelaide Lightning and Sydney Flames, and instead of Bankstown, et cetera, it became much more difficult for the AIS to compete. So for your team, that magnificent team, which had you and Lauren and I think Kristen Veal or Shelley Gorman, I can't remember the rest of them, but it was a crackerjack team. To win that was pretty amazing. From there, what happened for you next in your career? Did you then come in to stay in the WNBL, or is that when you started to go overseas?
No, so I stayed in the WNBL. So my first team was with Sydney. So I went from, I guess, a bit sheltered at the AIS to living in the Big Smoke. Which was a lot of fun, but a lot of learning. You know, the AIS to some degree, you know, did teach, I mean, they did have a dining hall, but we did do some cooking lessons. But, you know, and I guess for me, leaving home from such a young age, I was never that kid that was in the kitchen with my mum. It was always like, hey, mum, I'm home. What's for dinner? Or what's for lunch? So I kind of missed that cooking area, I guess, that kids see that they have at home. So my first year in Sydney, and I remember I really wanted mashed potato. So I rang my mum, and, you know, there's the two phones. One, my dad answered one and mum answered the one upstairs. But mum answered a bit late, and, you know, having a conversation with my dad, and he's like, "What, you know, what's up?" And I'm like, "Oh, I just want to know how to make mashed potato." And and my dad, being my dad, he's like, "Oh, righto, kid. So what you got to do is, you know, wash the potatoes and put them out in the sun for a few hours." And I'm like, "What?" I've never seen mum do that. I've never seen anyone do that. So I'm thinking about it. And then mum picks up the phone and, you know, so I'm explaining to her and she's like, "Oh, Jay, don't be ridiculous." And he's laughing away. He thinks he's real, you know, being jokester and stuff. So I was a little bit out of my depth in terms of, you know, I guess knowing exactly how to be, you know, a real adult. So it's a bit of learning for me. And, you know, you're paying rent and bills and, you know, mum and dad were an ATM back then because, you know, the WBL, you didn't have much money. So, you know, I don't think my salary back then even covered my rent. So it was always like, "Oh, hey, mum, I've just got some bills. Can you pay them?" Mm. You know, so there was a bit of a transition there. But so from Sydney, from there, you know, I ended up going to Townsville. We won a championship with Sydney and then went up to Townsville for 1 year, which was the first year Townsville in the competition. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I went to Europe, which, you know, I was lucky that at that stage, you know, I was already in the national team. So when we were actually touring and we're in France, the head coach actually watched me play. And I had one of those games where you just can't bloody miss. I was knocking threes down, right, knocking everything down. Then, yeah, he offered me a contract. And I said no the first year because I felt like I still needed to develop. I needed, you know, I know that when you go to Europe, it's all about, you know, you've got to do your 20 and 10 and that's it. You know, there's not really a big window for development. So I decided to stay that extra year. That's when I played in Townsville. And then from there, I ended up going to play for him in France the year after.
Plus, there's a time difference, too, when you want to ring home from France to find out how to make scrambled eggs. You know, it could be middle of the night.
Yes, but you know what? I was actually pretty good at the time difference. It was my mum who was horrendous at times. Even years after I was living in Europe, she'd ring at like 3 a.m. and your heart would just jump out of your throat because you think, what just happened? Yes. And she's like, "Oh, hey, baby, how are you going?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? It's like 3 a.m, Mum. How have you not worked this out?" "Oh, shit, sorry, I forgot about the time difference." So.
Body, when this pot over, I'll talk to you about how to make scrambled eggs. What you do is you grab the eggs and you leave them out in the sun. You leave them out in the sun for a couple of hours.
Five hours.
Susie, talk to me about 2003 Seattle Storm getting a first-round draft pick, obviously going to where your good mate was as well. Talk to me about that one.
Yeah, to be honest, when I went in the draft, I actually didn't want to be drafted. I was focused on Europe and I didn't really want it to go just yet. It was always a plan to go, but not at that stage. So I'd had no choice. Once I got into the draft from Seattle, I had to go. But, you know, I held off. I didn't go straight away. And then when I did go and I felt that I was ready, and at that stage, you know, I was playing in Europe, so then it was like playing all year round. So that, you know, concerned me a bit in terms of not being able to see my family much. We are a tight-knit family. Once I got there, like, I loved it. It was a lot of fun. The game's obviously a bit different. For me, my style's more the European, so that really suited my game a lot more. But really enjoyed it, you know, and had some great teammates that I stayed friends with, you know, and I was lucky, got to play with Loz being there. So, you know, it's like, you know, one of your good mates, so it made it easier. But also, you know, getting to know some new other players like Sue Bird and a lot of those girls, Sue Bird, Dina Taurasi, and that they all played in Europe. So, you know, you're playing against them and you know, foreigners become mates with anyone else who speaks English, I guess. So, you know, it was great. It was amazing. And, you know, I loved it. But I think it got to the point for me is, and I think this is part of why I had longevity was, you know, I didn't want to play all year round all the time. I wanted to give my body a bit of a rest.
Yes. Yeah, and it needs it. Yeah, I think that was may have been the mistake that Lauren made was in that time in her career that she was playing pretty much all year round, and eventually the injuries come and then they become chronic. So you've come back to Australia, and then at what point did you come to Adelaide and, you know, finally see the light and come to the Lightning?
Yeah, so I had a bit of a tough road at one stage. So I decided to come. I was really tired and my body was tired, and I hadn't been home for so many years, and you know you miss it. You miss birthdays, weddings, christenings, whatever, and kind of started, not that I got homesick, I just wanted to spend some time with my family. So I decided to have a year off Europe. So I came home and I played for Sydney. I actually got injured and then I was doing some rehab on my knee at the Australian Institute of Sports. I went back there to rehab. My brother lives in Canberra, so it made it easy. So I, you know, lived with him and his wife and for that time. And my dad actually got ill from cancer. At that stage, I was playing with Canberra then. And it was just a really hard year. And hats off to Carrie Grass because, you know, she was, I guess, part of my journey when my dad was really sick. So I was pretty much just playing the games and then, you know, commuting back to Newcastle after the games and then sort of staying with my dad in hospital for, you know, 3 to 4 days and then going back to games. So it was hard on the team. But, you know, the team and Graffy were fantastic and gave me the time that I needed to go and spend with my dad. And then, unfortunately, you know, he didn't make it. He lost his battles with cancer. And then I Graffy wanted me to re-sign in Canberra, but I needed a change, I think, for... You know, there was just so many memories for me of, you know, when I got the phone call and it was just really tough and, you know, it was nothing against Canberra. It was just too hard for me. I just wanted a fresh start, I guess. So, I signed in Adelaide and I spent 2 seasons there and it was amazing. And I felt, you know, I played some really great basketball and...
Yes. Can you remember, Susie, when you got here, I watched you play 2 games. Do you remember what I said to you? I said, you're going to win the MVP. And you just laughed at me because at that stage you hadn't won an MVP. That was the first of 6. Don't tell me I'm not a good judge of talent.
You are. And I do just remember laughing at you. Like, oh, yeah, don't be ridiculous. Like, whatever, buddy. But, yeah, like, 6. I'm just thankful that he didn't put money on it because I would have lost.
Well, let's stay on, obviously, Australia now. I mean, the 5 NBL championships, 6 MVPs, 7 All-Stars. Like, I think Boddy said it before, you are the GOAT when we talk WNBL. Do you just sit back and go, where did that come from? Like, it's unbelievable.
I think, I don't know, you kind of, I think because you're not really, that's not what you're chasing. So it's not really something you think about. And even like, I mean, once I retired, it was like, oh, yeah, this is, I can't believe I did that. You know, you kind of reminisce in that regard. But, yeah, I don't know. You don't, because you don't think about it. Like, if anything, you just want to win those championships with your teammates because you're playing a team sport. So that's what you're orientated around. So I think, you know, I do look at it sometimes and I think you reflect definitely more on your career once it's over and people talk about it. Like, you know, perfect example is right now and you're just like, oh, man, that's, yeah, I can't believe that happened. But in the moment, you don't really think about it, to be honest.
Right. So the question I have for you now that you're removed from it, removed from the game, do you still follow the WNBL? Like, for example, did you go out to the Townsville Southside game given that Lauren was in town or did you follow it when the hub was happening during COVID and there was a lot of basketball up there? Or are you now kind of like you've stepped away from it, that's a different life?
No, I still watch it. I still love it. And I still follow it. I did, to answer your question, no, I didn't watch Southside, which I warned Lauren before she came up. I actually had a work event, and obviously work is the priority for me now. So I had an event that night that, you know, I was already booked in. But any game I can get to, the first 2 games, the home games, I got to both of them. And, you know, I'll continue to go to them as long as I don't have work commitments. But, yeah, still watch it. I'm a board member of the Townsville Fire as well currently. So, yeah, still heavily involved and training some of the girls once a week, the post plays. So my way of trying to give back, you know, just trying to take some stuff that I learned over the years. So,
brilliant.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I just love the game, but I'm glad I don't have to train anymore. I can tell you that much.
All right, well, that means you've probably answered my next question, which was going to be when you saw that Lauren was making a comeback and saw how successfully she made it, was there any temptation?
None whatsoever. And, you know, I was really happy for Loz and really proud of her. And the work she did was incredible. But I don't miss training because my body by the end was, you know, in next level, like I've had enough. I just aches and pains. And, you know, I thought when I retired, I was like, oh, I'll be right. Yeah, no. Some of those injuries stay with you. So there was no temptation to come back. Although I remember sitting in chambers when Loz had finally gone public with that she's making a comeback. My phone was running red hot and it just kept flashing. Wasn't making noise, but in chambers just flashing. And I'm thinking the mayor's about to call me out in a minute. And I turned my phone upside down. So once I left chambers, yeah, it was, everyone was asking if I was making a comeback, and, you know, and we laughed and we laughed and we laughed.
I did notice, Susie, that you were answering that question before Boddy finished the conversation, so I could tell that you were not playing. Hey, talk to me about the Opals. You were obviously a huge part of it, winning 2 silver medals, a bronze medal. Must have been good times, yeah?
Amazing. And, you know, a lot of those players that were actually, or not a lot, but there was a significant amount of players that went to the AIS and we won a championship together, and then went on to represent Australia and win those medals, you know. So, you know, Snelly and Penny as well. So there was just, it's almost like they kept a call. There was a call there that we had started at such a young age, which I guess is a little bit freakish in a way, that to have so many talented young players to be established into the Opal. So they're pretty great memories. And, you know, I'm really happy and grateful for, I guess, the time that I went through the Opals with the players I went through, you know, and I'm still, you know, really close mates with a lot of them. And it's good to see Christy back in the league. Like, she's yes. a really good friend of mine, and I'm happy to see her back in the league because, man, does she have an incredible basketball brain.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
You know, so we're looking to get her on the show soon.
Giving back.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the question I have for you is, and there's the question that a lot of people will be wondering right now, is, so post-basketball, what have you been up to? I know you've had twins. You're on the council. How did the latter come about? I mean, we know how the former came about, but how did the latter come about?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, do you really want to know how the kids came about? I think we can work that out.
Yeah.
I have two beautiful daughters who are twins, Layla and Charlie. So they're 3 now. So they're definitely giving me a run for my money.
Wow.
For the first I often thought, oh my God, I would rather be on a basketball court running suicides for 6 hours because it was really hard having twins. Yeah. But also, you know, I had some of them, they were premature, so there was a few issues, so it was really difficult. But now it's, you know, I guess anyone who has kids know that while some stages get easier, there's other aspects that are difficult. So that's fun times. And I have one twin that has her mother's personality, which is interesting times at the moment. And then, yeah, the mayor actually approached me after I retired, pretty much soon after I retired. You know, would it be something that I'd be interested in? And, you know, it was fantastic. And I thought, oh, yeah, maybe. And then I ended up saying to her, I'm actually pregnant. I just haven't announced it. And I'm actually pregnant with twins. And she was like, oh, wow. You know, we talked about the timing if I was to do it, and it, you know, could work. But yeah, and I decided at Christmas time that I would run, or just after Christmas that I'd run. And yeah, got elected. And after the election, my kids were 7 months old. So I went to work when they were 7 months old, which was pretty hard. The timing wasn't fantastic, but you can't exactly ask an election to hold up. Can we just have a few more months so I can spend some more time with my kids? but, you know, with the mayor and with my role, it was good. They were really flexible for me, particularly when the kids were really young. So it was actually made the transition quite easy. And, you know, I'm probably one of the lucky ones, I guess, in terms of, you know, you often hear athletes talk about the transition and they struggle, and there's, you know, sometimes some, you know, have to battle the depression and whatnot. I was really lucky. I transitioned so easily. You know, maybe it's because I had the, you know, as soon as I retired, I fell pregnant really quick and had the twins. So I was constantly busy. There was always something for me to do. And then, you know, got elected and now I'm a councillor for Townsville City Council. So it all just sort of flowed really quickly, I guess.
Yeah, that's fantastic. As a father of 3, I can say I know how hectic it is to have twins. Oh, my God. I don't know how you do that. So, and that's great to hear you didn't have that. As someone who did go through a little bit of depression after basketball, it is very hard times. So I'm glad that that happened. Now, this is the best time of the pod, Susie. This is the great one, all right? This is where we say to you, we throw some names and and all we're looking is for like one word, one answer, an anecdote, a story, whatever you want, right? And you've actually mentioned a couple of these names, so it's great. So I'm going to start first, and whatever comes to mind, say it. Christy Harrower.
Go.
Oh, nice.
Do I have to tell you why?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, go ahead.
She is an unbelievable player. Probably, I think she's a bit underrated, but she knows how to run a team. She's literally was just like a little coach on the court who kept us organized, but her skill level was incredible as well. She's just super smart, but she's a good person. And
Opal's coach in waiting?
Mm. Potentially, yeah. I think I think 100% she could. Like I said, she's just really clever and sees the game from different aspects, but also knows how to get the best out of her teammates that are on the floor and who to run a play for. And you know, she didn't need to look on the sidelines at the coach to what play do I run. She knows what play to run. She knows who to run it for. So.
People manager. Yeah. That's what you need. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she's just a pleasure, on and off the floor and, still to this day. And, maybe I'm a bit biased. I don't think I am. But
no, I don't think you are either. You're not the only one saying it, let's be honest. Mm.
Yeah. So she's got a lot to give. So I'm super proud that she's back in the league, and she's Chris Lucas' assistant coach. So it's going to be good for her to learn another aspect of, someone else's coaching style. And, she wants to learn, but she also wants to give back. And if I was a guard and I was at the Bermas, I would be a sponge next to her because she's just incredible.
Fantastic. Yeah, Christy Wallace must be loving it.
Yeah.
Really, Melbourne Boomers.
I'd just be a sponge and be learning everything, all from offense to the defensive end. It's one player that can really could always get over picks. She was smart, how to use her body to get over picks. But also, oh my God, just made me remember. She used to set the best picks on post players, and she knew it too. She used to laugh. She'd clean you up, and I'd think, oh God, Christy's coming. She's going to pin me here, And she would. She actually loved setting screen on big plays. And I used to see her coming, and think, oh, here we go. I'm about to get wiped out. So, she's just definitely a goat.
Okay, geez. All right, we're going to have to be quick on the next few then. I got Karen Dalton for you. No, it's all right. It's great. I got Karen Dalton for you.
Beautiful. Just, I guess I played with her when I first came out of Sydney, and she's probably one that, took me under her wing a little bit. But also she became my coach. We won a championship together in Sydney after she retired and then took the reins on as coach. So a lot of time for Dalts. So we definitely had our battles, but in a respectful way. And, she was an athlete to a coach. I think she understood it from both aspects, from an athlete's side and a coach's side.
She, the whole Dalton family, I was lucky enough when I came into the league, I had Mark Dalton. And he was just like that, like what you said, was just, he was my sponge. I just kept going to him. He was amazing, Tang. Anyway, moving on, Carrie Graff.
Graffy, superstar. I think for me, there's a lot of aspects there, but as I mentioned earlier, my time in Canberra, I went through one of the hardest, the hardest time of my life with my dad being sick. She allowed me, the time that I needed, but also, prior to that happening, she was probably one coach who used to say, and I really appreciated this, was I was an unorthodox player, and I know I was. I like to be off one crazy foot and off balance and whatever else, but that worked for me.
Absolutely.
If you told me to jump off 2 feet and do a layup, I'd probably miss it, and there was times where I'd be like, oh, this is so frustrating, feels weird to me. And it wasn't that we didn't practice it, but she allowed me the space to be the player I was and helped me develop, some of the skills to learn how to better be off balance to shoot the ball, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does. Yeah. All right. The last couple I've got are people you've mentioned. One, of course, is Lauren Jackson.
Oh, she's just like goat times a billion. I don't know how to. There's no word for her. She's just, Oh, yeah, the goat times a million.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay. Michelle Timms.
Another goat. I think I'm just lucky. There's a lot of them. Timsy was, there was. And, I think Timsy, I went into the Opals and, Boddy, as you know, I'm not a quiet person. I can talk, with marble full of mouths underwater. But I remember joining that Opals team and it was just, felt so honoured and I felt like I was out of place and, these are the players that I got to enter the Opals with, and it was incredible. Another one who knows the game and her competitiveness. Like, she's just, even at training, she's just on the go, going a million miles an hour. And, you could be doing a walkthrough drill and there seems you just going 100%.
Mm. Okay. I got the last one for you. Chris Lucas.
Chris. I don't know what word to use for him, but... a lot of time, a lot of respect for him. We had our battles. but we always wanted the same thing, and I've got a lot of time for Chris, and you know, I'm really happy that him and Christy get to work together. I don't have a word for Chris. It's just Chris. Chris is Chris.
Yeah. He had a word. He had a word for you when we had him on a couple of weeks ago. I think he described you as the greatest player he's ever coached. So I think that respect might be mutual, Susie.
Yeah, definitely. And I've got a lot of time for him. But I can tell you what, I thought I drank a lot of coffee back then, which I did for an athlete. But now that I'm a counsellor and have twins, I definitely smash those cat coffees out most of the day.
Susie, we could talk again. We've got to have you on again because we've just touched the edges. You are outstanding. Counsellor, I thank you so much for coming on to our show. Look, as I said before, an NBL champion, MVPs, All-Stars, you are the GOAT when we talk about WNBL. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for putting, you know, doing what you're doing. The WNBL is better to have that you are involved, and we really appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks for having me. And if you have me on again, I think we need to add body to the list of one word and I'll come up with something good.
I've got one word, but we can't use that. We've got a family listening.
Hey, I've got one word. Goodbye.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, that probably should have been Batgirl at the end of that instead of Batman. But congratulations to Susie. Batgirl Batkovic, and extra congratulations right now for her induction into the New South Wales Basketball Hall of Fame, which is...
Yeah, wasn't that fantastic? Yeah, fantastic. And congratulations also, I'd like to mention, an administration person, Lorraine Landon.
Yep.
Now, Lorraine's obviously very well known, well, Australia-wide, but huge in Sydney basketball, obviously. Part of that three team, as you call it, with Mike Robleski and Bob Turner, that grew the Kings into what they were. She's been a great administrator. What she's done for basketball in general, but women's basketball, outstanding. So congratulations to Lorraine.
And now we've got When You're Hot, You're Hot.
When you're hot, you're hot.
So what do you got, Brad? When you're hot,
I cannot go against the Cairns Taipans. They were outstanding, and I want to put that in context. They were down 14 points in the fourth quarter against a team that is on a 17-game winning streak on the road, and then they look like they're done, and then DJ Hogg goes bang, bang, with two big threes, takes it into OT, and that was a phenomenal win. I've got to pay tribute to them. They were great. Save your cooks. Keep your hand out of the cookie jar. They needed you on the court.
Yeah, they certainly did. They certainly did. I was very impressed with Cairns. I've got to agree with that. But then by the same token, my hot is New Zealand Breakers, who beat Cairns in Cairns to start the round and then absolutely pantsed and flogged a very disappointing Brisbane Bullets team, but that is a team that is hot. And once again, it's really down to whether Tasmania make a flurry, but I'm looking at Modi Mayor or Adam Ford as our Coach of the Year candidates.
There's daylight third. You know what I mean? Yeah. Those two are the top two by far, and then daylight. But I'll tell you what, isn't it a run for we know it's the top six now. So the top two go through, and then 3 to 6 do that playoff thing, or, you know, whatever they call it and stuff. Yeah. So that is unbelievable. But it's going to be tight. Like, look, you can't see Brisbane making a run. Illawarra are done. The others, give it a go.
I think I'm starting to wonder whether Perth is in the fraud squad too with Brisbane.
Oh, they're up there, aren't they?
Because I think I'm starting to like Adelaide. All right, I'm starting to think they've cleared the Craig Randall dust out, and now
they look better for it.
They've made it.
Do you think they're going to go with someone else?
CJ's on the record of saying that the entire roster is in consultation for that decision. So whoever they bring in, everyone's going to have approved of them. So whether it's a Cam Oliver or Scott Machado, I'm just pulling names out of a hat. Everyone's going to say, yeah, we want them. So the team will want them. So they're not going to be a player that ruins chemistry for them. So I like where Adelaide is heading at the minute. Yeah. I was very impressed with their performance in Perth. Whereas for Illawarra and Brisbane, they had what we would call... Okay, we're back from another musical interlude.
Oh, man, I just shake my head with you, buddy. Him and his music. Just so everyone knows what he's got all these records at home, right? And I'm talking old records. And there he is, and he winds them up, and he just sits all day in his back room with, you know, which is all. And he just, anyway, moving on. Let's move on. My Rose and Rattler. I'm going first. All right. I'm going first with my Rose and Rattler.
Go, ramble away.
I'm staying with what you were talking about. I do not understand what the Brisbane Bullets did. Now, there was talk, 0-5, you know, the coach is on the chopping block, blah, blah. You have that FIBA window. So that gives yourself a good 2 weeks if you're going to make a decision, whether it's coach, whether it's imports, whatever you do, that is a really good time to get your players in, do everything. They come back, they win one, they play one more game and lose that, then they fire him. Now, I don't understand that, Boddy, because basically that says to me, what, if you win that game, he's staying, but if you lose, you can't play one game on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it. They were 0-5. The two wins they then had were against Illawarra Hawks, who were at the bottom of the barrel, and then they caught Tasmania on the hop coming back after they'd beaten the Perth Wildcats, so they beat them by a whopping great 2 points. Not that impressive, so maybe they were thinking, well, I don't know. Obviously, they didn't have a coach in mind because Sam McKinnon's sort of sitting in on the role. But yeah, as you say, you can't honestly think that they were going to decide his fate on whether they beat Cairns or not.
Yeah, that's right. Like what? So what you're saying now? If he wins, we'll wait another week. Yeah. Like, the writing's on the wall, and I just don't understand why that wouldn't have happened early. Look, then you can start to play the game. Maybe they had someone and he fell through. I don't know. You know what I mean? All those things come to play. But I'll tell you what, there's some coaches out there.
Oh, look, I just don't understand why we're going away from these great Australian coaches that we have. And we're, with all due respect to everyone else, I'm thrilled to see someone like John really in our coaching ranks. I want to see more like that. I mean, I'm prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, as it stands right now. But I just think with this influx, this American influx, I don't think it's healthy, to be honest.
All right. Give me a nod, nasty.
Well, I haven't got a nasty. I've got a nicey. I've got a real nicey here.
Are you okay?
I'm mellowing.
Playing music and, you know, nodge niceys. What's going on, mate?
I'll be nasty next week. Don't you worry.
I'm sure you will tomorrow. Don't worry.
I'll be next week. But this week, I got to say congratulations. Another congratulations. This one is to Robin Maher, who has been inducted into the FIBA Hall of Fame in Mies in Switzerland, where that's going to occur on Wednesday, which is possibly when we're actually coming to you. So, and she's created history because her husband, Tom, was inducted in 2021 to the FIBA Hall of Fame. So this becomes the first married couple, one as a coach and one as the captain of Australia, to be in the FIBA Hall of Fame. So hats off to them. That's my nicey. I think that's a fabulous achievement. Now, we didn't have any WNBL.
Fabulous achievement and fabulous mention as well. I completely agree. Yes, WNBL. Let's have a little chat about that, mate. There's some obviously we had a week off for the non-FIBA window, whatever you want to call it.
The FIBA window, so where there are no FIBA games.
Exactly. So there's some good games coming on, but talk to me about the top of the table clash, Boddy.
Yeah, Townsville and Bendigo both undefeated. Bendigo a little unlucky that they had a game postponed, so they've actually haven't played for a few weeks, so they'll be raring to go. Townsville, where is it, Brad? Is it in Townsville?
In Townsville, yep.
Well, you know that they're going to be helped by the officials there. I didn't say that. I don't know where that came from. That was our producer just slipped that in. But
I didn't even put any music to that.
So I'm tempted to go with Townsville. But I just think they're a little bit deeper. But that'll be a cracker of a game.
Yeah.
Let's swing now to NBL. Which what's your game of the round, this one? Because this is a tough one.
For me, and I'm going to actually be sidelined at this one. For me, I'm looking forward to Sydney Adelaide. Sydney obviously are going to bounce back now after losing to Cairns, and it'll be interesting to see where they go. But I really enjoyed what they're doing, and I'm liking what Adelaide brings as well. Obviously, Adelaide went to Perth and did what they had to do. Am I right in saying that was their biggest ever win in Perth? Did I hear that?
Yeah, you may well have heard it, and it may well been true.
Yeah.
No, not in Perth. I would say in RAC Arena.
Oh, okay. Whatever it was, anyway, it was a bloody win.
Yeah. I mean, when we go back to 82, you know, I'm sure there's been some bigger wins, but not at RAC Arena. So, yeah, that's a big one. Is there any other games that tickle your fancy?
Another throwdown.
Throwdown for weeks.
Not since last week. Let me tell you, so New Zealand Southeast, that'll be a good game. I'm looking forward to that in Christchurch. Brisbane, like Perth, that. Well, which team's going to show up with those one? Adelaide Cairns, like that in
I
Adelaide.
I do like that.
New Zealand Perth, again, which Perth team's going to show up? Southeast Melbourne, throwdown. And then we've got Brisbane, Tasmania, what are Brisbane bringing? And then Illawarra versus Melbourne. Yep, interesting.
Yeah, okay, I think we picked the best game.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Right. Well, mate, that's it. We're going to.
That's all we got.
That's all we got. Thank you to Susie. That was a fantastic listen to the counsellor, isn't it? Counsellor. Yes, we love the counsellor, and she was fantastic. Body, thank you. To Piranha Media and Burger Boss. Oh, we love our burgers from Burger Boss. Body, have a good week, mate.
You too. Talk to you next week.
See you next time. You seriously got to send me a burger up from Burger Boss, mate. I want one. You got to bring, just fly here for the day and bring me some stuff.
Seriously, I couldn't. I mean, Uber, it doesn't matter who it is. They can't get it to you warm, mate.
It won't be Deliveroo.